around me and be able to preach to you. For those of you that are visitors, I'm not a preacher, but I do love to proclaim God's word. And by his grace, I'll be able to do it, because otherwise I'm in much weakness and trembling. Without his help and his mercy, I won't be able to do it. But thanks be to God, he is merciful. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians 3:14. And as I read this, I want to read it as the text for my message, but also for my prayer. For us, for those outside of Christ, for those that are in Christ, that this would be our prayer, that we could be strengthened in the inner man by knowing the love of God. And the title of my message today is, How Can I Know That God Loves Me? And so, as we read this, read it as Paul wrote it to the Ephesian church, that he was praying this for them and for us. We need to pray it for ourselves and for one another. Ephesians 3:14 to the end. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives this name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. And that would be my prayer from this message, that you would be strengthened with his power, the power of the Spirit from the inner man. How does that happen? Paul, he tells us, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, not your love for him, but in God's love for us, that you are rooted and grounded in his love, in God's love for you, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. How do I know? How do I determine if someone loves me from a human sense? We have devised many different ways. Some are somewhat reliable, some are not so reliable. One is somebody tells me they love me. I say, okay, you love me. But the problem with that is man is deceitful. And they'll tell you that they love you when they don't really love you. Or sometimes we base whether a person loves us on the gifts that they give us, the deeds they perform for us. That is a demonstration that someone loves me. Some determine that they love by taking the petals. You know, this is the old-fashioned way, and probably all of us as teenagers, maybe the young one hadn't, but, you know, he loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not, until I get down to the end and I have none left. And if it's she loves me not, then she doesn't love me. If it ends on the one that she does love me, then she does. And then sometimes we determine if a person loves us by their emotional response. We get that little fuzzy feeling, you know, when we get near her or near him or around somebody. We just get that little fuzzy feeling, you know. We get emotional feeling, and that's how we say, well, that person loves me, or I'm in love with that person. But God has given us a better way. He has given us concrete ways that we can know that he loves us. And for myself personally, I couldn't exist. I couldn't live when I had to face the death of a loved one, or had to face financial disaster, or had to face that equipment tearing up just when I didn't want it to tear up, or a whole bunch of cows getting sick and dying just when my financial situation was just at the brink of disaster. And we began to determine, does God love me by the circumstances that surround me, by the circumstances that are there? And I submit to you, that is not the way that we can determine that God loves us. How can you have peace and joy and contentment in this life if you do not know that God loves you? How do you handle when your children disappoint you? How do you handle when your spouse hurts you? How do you handle when your best friend denies you and leaves you alone and leaves you to the jeer and crowd of the people around you? How can we handle that if you do not know that God loves you? And I submit to you that there are numerous ways, and I won't even hit them all, that we can know that God loves us. And one is that I know that He loves me because He has declared it to be so. He has told us, Jesus has said, just as the Father in John 15:9, you don't have to try to turn to these passages because I have written them down, and I'm not, in light of time, I'm not going to turn to each one of them. But by God's grace, I wrote them down just as God's word has spoken them. And so Jesus has declared it. God has said in John 15:9, Jesus said, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. He has declared that I love you just as the Father has loved me. Do you know how much the Father loved the Son? He was God, just as Brother Mike read. He was God Himself. He is the very essence of God. So we know that He loved Himself. He loved His dear Son, and He loves us like that. To those that abide in Him, those that understand His love and know His love and keep His love, that's what He says. And so I live in an understanding to that. And as I said, some people will say, I love you, and it means nothing. But God does not and cannot lie. When He says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you, abide in my love. He has declared it to be so. But back in Jeremiah 31:3, He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Now he is speaking here of a covenant relationship, that He has loved His covenant people. I understand that, with an everlasting love. But we need to understand that God does deal with nations, and He does deal with His people as a covenant people. But just as Brother Fred told us last week when he was speaking of idols, it says, you shall have no other gods before you. He's speaking to individuals. He's speaking to me. He's speaking to you. And when He says, I love you, God deals with individuals. He loves you if He declares it to be so. We can depend on it. God does not change. He first loved us, and so we love Him. We can depend upon His love. His love is an everlasting love. And He says in John 16:27, Jesus says, the Father Himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. How do I know that He loves me? Because He has declared it to be so. And He has also told us that He will confess us or declare us before the Father in heaven if we declare Him. He will declare His love for us before the Father if we declare Him or confess Him before this world. I can depend on God loving me because He has declared it to be so. Not only that, I know that He loves me because He has demonstrated it in His death and in His life. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrates His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated His love towards us in His death. In John 3:16, a verse that we love to quote, for God so loved the world that He gave. Nobody took His life. He gave his life to us. In John 10:11, it says that, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He did it himself. He laid it down. And even further down in John 10:17-18, he says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I have received from the Father. He willingly gave his life. How do I know he loved me? Because he demonstrated it in his death. And also in John 15:13, he says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. I can know God loves me. Jesus loves me. One in the same persons, because he has laid down his life. He has demonstrated it in his death. How do I know that God loves me? Because of his deliverance. He has demonstrated in his deliverance for me. People, he has delivered me from evil. He has instructed us in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he says, Jesus himself says, the Father ever hears and answers my prayer. And he said, I pray this, and I pray it for you, and I teach you to pray, deliver us from evil. But even in his own word, in Galatians 1:4, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil age according to the will of the Father, and to whom be glory forever. Amen. How can I know he loves me? Because of his deliverance from me. He has delivered me from evil. Does that mean evil can never touch me? That I will never be tempted by evil? No, but my eternal soul can never be touched nor destroyed by the stench of evil. How can I know that he loves me? Because he has delivered me from death. He not only has delivered me from evil, he has delivered me from death. In Hebrews 2:14-15, he says, since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself also partook the likeness of the same, that through death he might render powerless who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through the fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives. Are you fearing death? Are you in slavery and bondage because you fear death? Jesus Christ has demonstrated his love to us because he has delivered us from evil. He has delivered us from death. Death has no longer has any sting, any power over his people. And he has delivered us from sin. What a blessing that he has delivered us from sin. In Colossians 1:13, he says, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and translated us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And if that wasn't enough, he says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He has demonstrated his love to us in his deliverance from evil, in his deliverance from death, and his deliverance from sin. I can know that he loves me. And not only that, we can know that he loves us because of the demonstration of the directions he has given us. People, you who love your children, you do not turn them out and say, just go find your own way, do whatever you want to do, eat, drink, and be merry. You give them direction because you love them. You give them commands. Do not go near the fireplace. Do not play in the road. Do not take drugs, because you love them. And God, Jesus Christ, has given us commands. He has given us direction. And he has said, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I love you. We are not just to be buckets that receive love. He says, just as I love you, you love another. Let it overflow through you. I have given you direction to how to live this life. Love one another. And he has also given us the counsel of the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, he says, God is leading, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. The Spirit will never teach you different than the Word of God teaches you. There are many who will say, well, God told me to divorce my wife, or God told me to do this, and I have a peace with myself. That peace, if it is contrary to God's word or that direction, did not come from the counsel of the Holy Spirit. It came from some other spirit. But we can know that God loves us because he has given us the counsel of the Holy Spirit. We can know that. And we can know that he loves us because the content of his word. There is a relationship, and it says it in his word, between God loving us and us keeping his word. Listen to what it says in John 14:23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our abode with him. Those that keep his word, he has promised that the Father will love us and abide with us and take up his abode with us. That is incomprehensible to me, that God would take up abode with me, that he loves me. And he's given me his word so that I can know that he loves me. And he's given me that direction to keep his word so that I know that he can love me. And then again in John 15:10, he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There is a relationship between the commandments of God and the love of God, the word of God and the love of God. I can know that God loves me because of his direction to me. He doesn't leave me as an orphan. He directs my steps. This is one that we probably don't like, the one that I'm getting to now. I can know that God loves me because he disciplines me. We don't like to be disciplined. But God's word is very clear that if we are not disciplined by the Father, he said all of his children are partakers of the discipline of the Father. And if he does not discipline us, then he does not love us. And his discipline is not harsh and unruly and unwise, but it is the end of his discipline for us is to demonstrate his love to us and to bring us to repentance, where we can go back to his waiting arms of that everlasting love. God disciplines those he loves. Listen to the scriptures in Hebrews 12:5-11. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. In other words, don't fall away when you're disciplined by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seemed best for us, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Dear people, you are not loving your children if you don't discipline them. Just as the Father does not love us if we are not disciplined by him. His discipline is calculated to bring us to repentance. Real love never lets one go off in a direction that's bad for him. And God loves us much more than we can even begin to think that we love our own children, and he disciplines us. But his end is to bring us to repentance. And he tells us that in Revelation 3:19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, you know, many times, dear people, and we live in a day where people are attributing Satan with everything. And Satan is a powerful and vicious foe to us. And he does many things. But dear people, many times is the case that it is God's hand of discipline that we are attributing the work of God, disciplining us, teaching us, putting obstacles in our way to bring us to repentance, to show us, to demonstrate his love to us, that he will not let us go, that we are his children and he truly loves us. When he disciplines us, we should fall on our faces before God and praise him. The scripture says we won't like it at first, but in due time we will be trained by his righteousness and we will rejoice. We will rejoice that he's done it, and we will rejoice and praise him that he's brought us back into his loving arms, and he didn't cast us aside as an illegitimate child and never discipline us. We can know he loves us because he disciplines us. I can know that he loves me because of his distribution to me or his gifts to me. He has given us everything in Christ Jesus. All of the riches and glory are ours. But he has told us in specific ways that he has distributed us. He has met our physical needs. In Matthew 6, he goes through a whole litany of things. He says the Gentiles seek after this. They seek after food and shelter and clothing. He tells us, don't you be anxious for these things. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. I can know that God loves me. He has distributed to me. I have never gone for begging bread. I have never gone hungry. I have never lacked for anything. I have never lacked for clothing, shelter, food. I can know because he has met all of my physical needs in Christ Jesus. His distribution to me has been magnificent, and I don't see a one here that looks any different from me. I can know that God loves me because he has met my physical needs. But he didn't stop there. We are a people that aren't just physical. We are physical and soul. We are spirit and body and soul. We're all put together. We're not, you can't separate any of them as the group back there that I can't even think of the name of now that wanted to separate the body and the soul and said, well, I can sin in my body because it won't affect my soul, or I can do what I want in my spirit because it doesn't affect my body, and they would mutilate their bodies and all that thinking it would help their soul. But that's not what we are. We are one people. And so God has even taken care of that. He has distributed to me that he takes care of my mental needs. He has told me that I cannot know him unless my mind is renewed. I am to renew it, and he renews it. In Corinthians 2:14, he says, The lost man, the natural man, cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. But just before that, in 1 Corinthians 2:12, he says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that ye may know the things freely given to us by God." Where do you know things? You know it in your mind. The heart will deceive you. It is desperately wicked and deceitful. But if we know Christ and he has renewed our mind, and the fool says in his heart, "There is no God," but my mind, because it has been renewed by Christ, says to my heart, "There is a God. I know there is a God. He is demon. I can look around me and know that there is a God. I can look around and know that God loves me by these reasons that he has set forth to us." And he says to me, "I must know him, and I must convince the heart in my mind." And he renews the heart because I have renewed my mind, and I will be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of my mind. He meets all of our needs. And it goes on. I'm going to skip over a few of these. The joy. Jesus prayed. He meets our emotional needs. He distributes to us emotionally. Jesus would pray in his high priestly prayer, "Lord, I would that they would have my joy, and that joy would be made full in them." That is emotion. The scripture says that "I have shed abroad the love of Christ in their hearts." That is emotion. He has given us the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He has given us that. He has given us the fellowship of the church. What are their gifts? He has given us the fellowship of the church, where he says, "When I hurt, you should hurt. When I rejoice, you should rejoice." That's why we don't go and help people when they have a death or a calamity or a trial because we're wanting to be known. It's because we hurt when they hurt. And when we rejoice over something, a birth or a marriage or a financial success of a brother or sister, or some great thing that may happen to them, we rejoice with them. God has given us that. He has distributed to us so I can know. He has given me the church for fellowship. He has distributed everything that I need, and he demonstrates his love to me by that. And he says in Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" I can know that he loves me because of his distribution to me. And I also can know that he loves me because of his destination for me. In Hebrews 2:10, he is determined to bring many sons to glory. The last time I spoke, my topic was, what manner of love is this? And I would say to you, what manner of love is this? That he would determine by his my destination that I would be his son. And I would have to say, what manner of love is this? That he is not only going to call me a son, he's going to take me to glory. I can know he loves me because of his destination for me. And I can know that he loves me because he is destined for me to be performed to the perfect image of Jesus Christ. I cannot fathom it because my body and my mind is so vile and corrupt that one day God is going to transform me, conform me to the perfect image of Jesus Christ. I can know he loves me because he would do that for me. And lastly, in this destination for me, he has prepared a place for me in heaven. In John 14, you probably could quote it, but it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Dear people, we have a destination. We are going to be sons in glory. We're going to be conformed to the perfect image of Christ. And he has prepared a place for us in heaven. I know he loves me because of this. And finally, I know that he loves me because of his devotion to me. Real love, dear people, requires sacrifice. You probably know it. Husbands, we have a directive to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. Now, I know we always substitute there for that gave, that we must live a sacrificial life, and that is true. And he sacrificed his life to death. We've already spoken of that. But he also sacrificed his person in the sense Brother Mike read it. He remains God. But in Philippians 2, he tells us to have this attitude which was in Christ Jesus. Even though he existed in the form of God, even though Christ was God, he dwelt in inaccessible light, people. He emptied himself. He emptied himself of his divine prerogative as God. He took on lowly human flesh, being made in the likeness of man, it said, he humbled himself and became a bondservant and suffered death, even death upon the cross. Does he love me? He sacrificed his very being, his very life for me. His devotion to me is incredible. He commanded me to do that. But he did it. I can know that he loved me because of his devotion to me. And finally, his devotion to me because of his presence with me. Brother Fred has used this many times when he would say in Hebrews 13:5, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. I can know that he loves me because he is always with me. He told them in Matthew 28, lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. People, human beings will forsake you. Human beings will hurt you. They will deny you at times. But God, we can know that he loves us because of his devotion to us. And I don't have a watch, so I don't know what time, but I'm going to take the liberty to finish. I'm going to say to you, I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves me. In John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And many people skip over this qualifier, but those that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting. Many times it says that we must repent and believe in the scriptures. And I'm going to turn the shoe around, because God has given us a declaration. We can know that he loves us by these different means. I'm going to ask you, do you love him? I submit to you that these things fit us. And I can go to the Word of God. I don't have time to show you. But do you declare that you love him? He says, if you confess me before my Father in heaven, I will confess you before the High Father in heaven. Have you declared him publicly? Have you declared him by submitting to believers' baptism because you love him? Have you demonstrated your love for him by dying to self and raising again to newness of life, forsaking sin, denying self, taking up your cross daily, and following him? Have you demonstrated your love to him by following his directions? where he tells us to love one another, love your enemies, go about doing good deeds. I'm not talking about perfectly. Have he delivered you from evil where you struggle and fight against sin, that we desire and delight, as Paul would say, to do the will of God in the inward man? And we don't do the things we want to do, and we do the things that we don't want to do, but our delight in our heart in the inward man is to obey God and follow God and serve his commandments. And you love God. You've been delivered from evil. There is therefore no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. Have you been disciplined by God? Do you still love him? Or are you like those when they come under the hand of discipline that they call him all kinds of name and wonder? I tell you what I do. When I start having those thoughts, I go back to God. And it's by his grace, not because I'm any special kind of person. But I go and I say, but God, you have declared your love to me. And this is not foolishness with me. But God, you had demonstrated your love. I know that you love me. How could I say these things or think these thoughts about you? And I can renew my mind because he has given me the gift of the Holy Spirit to give me directions, and I can know and I can renew my mind because he first loved me. I love him. Am I devoted to him with that sacrificial love? And there are others, and I didn't even touch on many of them. But you can know that God loves you. And if he loves you, then you will respond to him like he has told us we can know that he loves you. Not perfectly, but he loves us, and I know it. You, each individual. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we need but look in the face of Jesus Christ and see the bleeding and dying love, that there is no doubt that you loved your people, that you came into the world to save sinners. And Lord, we know by our own hearts, by our own minds, by our own actions of our flesh that we're sinners and we fit that bill. And Lord, you tell us that you came into the world to save sinners. Lord, I ask you to have mercy upon those that don't know you, that they would repent and believe and follow you as prophet, priest, and king. And that, Lord, that you would rule over our lives, that you would bring us back to worship you, that you would help our brother as he prepares to preach, that, Lord, indeed, we would be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.